Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tragedy strikes a Cumberland County family. A 9-year-old boy is dead and 3 members of his family are injured after a fire sparked by a space heater.
Plus, investigators are searching for the cause of a crash involving several cars. What we know about the investigation.
Also, a call for more oversight after more than 400 children were exposed to lead-tainted applesauce. Who is joining the push for the FDA to act now? I want to welcome you into our WRL studio right now this afternoon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The fire started just after midnight in a mobile home off Dasher Lane. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays spoke with family members who say an electrical space heater is to blame.
Well, Renee, we are in the area right here, the mobile home. We're told by family members that the fire started back in his back bedroom. This is where the 16-year-old was sleeping. Photojournalist Michael Joyner is going in to show you. You can see that this mobile home is destroyed. Now, we do have a picture of the young man who died. We're told he's Thomas Miller. Family members described him as the sweetest young boy you'd ever meet. Firefighters say when they arrived on the scene, smoke and flames were shooting from this building. We're told Thomas was found in the kitchen area. The family says the fire started after 16-year-old Hannah Miller plugged in an electrical space heater that arced. Now the teenager is blaming herself for the fire that killed her brother.
Yeah, the 16-year-old blames herself for the accident that occurred.
Tell me about that.
She feels like she's the one that plugged the heater in. She's the one that she feels like she's responsible for the fire because, you know, ultimately she plugged the heater in. She felt like there was an issue with it, and, you know, like a kid would do. She plugged it in and, you know, and brushed it off.
Now, Knight says that the 16-year-old is at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center. She's recovering well. Her mother and father have been taken to UNC Burn Center in Chapel Hill. We're working to find out how they're doing right now. Again, you can see that the home is destroyed here. We have family members at both of those hospitals checking the family members out and seeing how they're recovering. Right now, Renee, the family is asking for everyone in our area to just keep them in our prayers.
Such an unimaginable loss. Gilbert Bays live in Cumberland County. Thank you. Multiple Raleigh fire trucks responded to a house fire in southeast Raleigh this morning. Sky 5 was over the scene on Quarryman Road around 9:30 this morning. You can see a ladder truck extended to the roof with some evidence of a fire there. Investigators are looking into what started the flames.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we're tracking some breaking news in Raleigh. I want to take you to the scene of a shooting. This appears to be an apartment complex just off of North New Hope Road. They have an entire building sectioned off right now with police tape. This is a live look from Sky 5. You can see multiple officers on scene. The only details we know right now is that somebody was shot. We do not know how many people were involved. We do not know the severity of any injuries. That is all we know right now. Again, this is the scene off North New Hope Road. The only details we know is that somebody is shot. We are working to gather more details. As soon as I have that, I will bring it to you from the Live Center.
Today, Wake County school leaders will decide whether to sue social media companies over their effect on teens. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains why leaders could take this legal step.
Educators who support this lawsuit say social media causes psychological damage for students, and it's now impacting the classroom environment and students' learning. So tonight, Wake County school leaders will meet here at the district headquarters to talk about joining the lawsuit. Attorneys for 2 law firms are presenting their arguments at tonight's meeting. 11 other North Carolina school systems have already joined the lawsuit, including Cumberland, Johnston, Wilson, Moore, and Wayne counties. These are just a few examples of what school systems are saying in their lawsuits. They claim counselors are overwhelmed by a higher demand for help, kids are distracted by social media during the school day, and teachers are spending more time disciplining students for actions related to social media. WRAL has reached out to these social media companies for comment. We're still waiting to hear back. Until then, we'll keep you updated on what happens during tonight's meeting. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, and Cary.
And tonight, the Wake County School Board will also consider bonuses for some educators. The board is set to vote on giving bonuses to educators at its highest need schools. Teachers and assistant principals would get up to $3,000 in bonuses over 2 years and get access to more training. Principals would get up to $5,000 in bonuses. It's part of a new program designed to improve education and employee retention. It would be just for 24 lower-income and lower-performing schools. You can find out more about the program at the education section of WRL.com. The school board will also hear a presentation about what would be required to pay employees twice per month instead of just once per month. Any changes would affect all schools, but the board isn't expected to make any changes right now.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Supreme Court declined to hear a new challenge on admissions criteria at a public high school in Virginia. We are talking about Thomas Jefferson High School. That they eliminated standardized testing, clearing the way for the use of a policy intended to diversify the school's student body. The court gave no reasons for turning down the case, but Justice Samuel Alito issued a dissent along with Justice Clarence Thomas, saying the court's willingness to swallow the apparent decision below is hard to understand. The Supreme Court struck down race-conscious admissions programs at Harvard as well as the University of North Carolina back in June.
We're working to learn exactly what caused a multi-vehicle car crash in Johnston County. Sky 5 flew over the westbound lanes of NC 42 in Johnston County around 9 this morning. There are at least three vehicles involved in the crash. One vehicle landed on its roof. No word on the names and conditions of the drivers.
The South Carolina Republican primary is now 4 days away, and former President Donald Trump has a commanding lead over former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley in her home state. NBC's Garrett Hake reports Haley still is sharpening her attacks on Trump on his first comments in the death of Alexei Navalny.
With 4 days to go until the South Carolina GOP primary, Nikki Haley's fighting an uphill battle against former President Trump on her home turf, arguing Republicans will be doomed in November if they hand Mr. Trump the party's nomination.
Donald Trump can't win. Everything he touches, we lose. How many more times do we have to lose before we say maybe he's the problem?
Haley is seizing on Mr. Trump's first public comments about the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny.
I don't know why he keeps getting weak in the knees when it comes to Russia.
With the former president on his social media site comparing Navalny's sudden death to his own legal problems. And making no mention of Russian President Vladimir Putin, who Western leaders are widely blaming for Navalny's death in Russian custody. Also in the spotlight, Mr. Trump's recent remarks that he would encourage Russia to attack NATO allies unwilling to meet defense spending goals.
I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills.
Haley slamming those comments.
He sided with a dictator who kills his political opponents.
Echoed by President Biden's campaign in a new digital ad.
Every president since Truman has been a rock-solid supporter of NATO. Except for Donald Trump.
Targeting some 900,000 Michigan voters with roots in NATO border states. Voters like Andy Ledeck, a U.S. Army veteran who immigrated from Poland as a child and finds Mr. Trump's NATO remarks disqualifying.
I was appalled. For someone like a former president of the United States to say something like that is beyond the pale.
It was Garrett Hake reporting. And meanwhile, Alexei Navalny's mother is pleading with Russian President Vladimir Putin to let her see her son. In a newly released video, Lyudmila Navalnaya says the Russian government will not give her his body and will not tell her where he is. She ends by demanding Alexei's body be immediately handed over so that she can bury him humanely. Meanwhile, the social media platform X temporarily suspended the account of Navalny's widow, Yulia. The move followed a message posted on her husband's account saying Putin, quote, killed the father of my children, unquote. It was replaced by a message indicating the account had violated the platform's rules. Minutes later, the account was restored with no explanation.
Depending on where you live, property taxes can be a small inconvenience or a major burden. Wallet Hub looked at all 50 states to determine which states had the highest and lowest property taxes. For comparison, state to state, they calculated taxes on a house worth $234,900. That's the median value for a home in the U.S. as of 2022.
property tax on such a house in North Carolina would be just over $1,700, and that puts North Carolina as 17th highest. For vehicle property tax rates, Wallet Hub used a Toyota Camry LE four-door sedan, 2023's highest-selling car, valued at $26,000. And North Carolina would charge about $300 in vehicle taxes for that Camry, putting North Carolina in the bottom half of states, ranking 32nd most expensive.
Happening today, we're expected to see learn the next steps in the Six Forks Road widening project. City Council is expected to consider three of five plans and then decide how to move forward. City leaders have been working on plans to widen a two-mile stretch of Six Forks Road for several years, hoping to ease traffic from North Hills to Lynn Road. The project is going to be a lot more expensive than originally planned because of soaring costs of land the city needs to buy to complete the project. The original cost was estimated at a little more than $31 million in 2017. That number now is estimated to be closer to $120 million.
North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein is joining 20 other attorneys general on calling on the FDA to act after inspectors found high levels of lead and metal in cinnamon applesauce pouches. Nearly 400 childhood lead poisoning cases were linked to cinnamon applesauce pouches that were later recalled. Exposure can cause developmental delays in children. The attorneys general are asking the FDA to require the baby food industry to test all finished food products for lead and other toxic metals. Next at noon, a last-ditch effort by Julian Assange to avoid extradition to the U.S., the legal challenges the WikiLeaks founder faces.
Also, an update on Elon Musk's Neuralink patient, what the company says that person can now do with a computer chip in their brain.
Plus, the United Nations will vote today on a resolution to end the war in Gaza immediately. Why the U.S. says it will veto the measure. Elizabeth.
Looking at mostly sunny skies this afternoon, you can see just a few high, thin clouds. Today and tomorrow will be on the cooler side, but I'll show you what changes to bring us more warmth later in the week. Coming up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Today, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange began what could be his last chance to stop his extradition from Britain to the United States. He's been battling authorities in English courts for more than 13 years. NBC's Josh Letterman is in London, where today's hearing is playing out.
Julian Assange facing one of his last opportunities to block his extradition to the U.S. to face espionage charges. Assange had hoped to be in court in person today, but his legal team says he was too sick to attend. But outside the Royal Courts of Justice, you could see there are throngs of Assange supporters who are protesting his likely extradition. Now, the U.S. Says that Assange threatened and risked the lives of U.S. troops and others with his disclosures of information through WikiLeaks obtained from Chelsea Manning. But the Assange legal team has argued that he was acting as a journalist and as a whistleblower, exposing crimes by the U.S. government, and that extraditing him to the U.S. at this point would actually violate his human rights because he could potentially die in prison there or harm himself. The U.S. trying to assuage those concerns by saying he won't be put into a maximum security prison. Now, if a judge decides that Assange is not eligible to get a full appeal, he could be extradited back to the U.S. within weeks or even days, with U.S. marshals coming here to London to bring him back to the U.S. There is a slight chance a European court could try to intervene, but it's unclear whether they could act in time. Josh Letterman, NBC News, outside the Royal Courts of Justice in London.
Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich will remain in custody in Russia until March 30th. Russia rejected his appeal against extended detention today. Gershkovich was arrested in March of 2023 while on a reporting trip. Russia accused him of trying to obtain state secrets. Gershkovich, his employer, the Wall Street Journal, and the U.S. deny the charge. If convicted, he faces up to 20 years in prison.
A patient implanted with a Neuralink brain chip can now control a computer mouse just by thinking. The company, founded by Elon Musk, implanted its device into a human for the first time in January. Neuralink hopes to restore lost capabilities such as vision, motor function, and speech. Medical device companies must go through several rounds of intense data safety collection and testing before securing final approval from the FDA. A measles outbreak in South Florida is raising concerns for pediatricians. There are now 5 confirmed cases of measles at one elementary school in Broward County. The Florida Department of Health is carrying out an investigation surrounding several cases of measles at the school. It's unclear whether those 5 students were vaccinated, but infectious disease experts say it's highly likely that they are not vaccinated. Florida is one of the states where parents use a religious exemption to opt their children out of traditional childhood vaccinations.
A man in Washington, D.C. is suing Powerball for $340 million. The 60-year-old says he is owed that money after the incorrect winning Powerball numbers were posted on its website. According to the lawsuit, the wrong numbers, his numbers, remained on the website for 2 days. The website agency for the Powerball calls the lawsuit a scheme to capitalize on an obvious error. But lawyers for the player pointed to a previous case from 2013 where another player was paid because of a similar situation. It's a costly mistake.
For sure. Well, speaking of numbers, our highs will be in the 50s, but soon we'll turn it up a bit into the 60s. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Looks fairly nice out there.
It is. Not feeling bad at all. Lots of sunshine. Some high, thin cloud cover out there, and I'll show you why that is coming up in just a few minutes. But it's not going to really have an effect on our weather. As a live look here, of course, at downtown Durham, we can see the tower there in the background, the Lucky Strike Tower. It is 51 degrees right now. Our dew point is 26. That just means it's very dry out. Temperatures will climb into the mid to upper 50s this afternoon, and the evening should be pleasant as well, with temperatures lingering in the 50s all the way until around 7 o'clock. It's 46 in Roxborough and 49 in South Hill, so it's a little bit cooler up to the north right now. 54 in Fayetteville, 54 in Clinton. So we're ranging anywhere from the mid-40s to the mid-50s, depending on exactly where you are. And it's a little breezy, too. Our wind is coming out of the north-northeast right now. We do have some gusts. Clinton gusting to 19 in Rocky Mount, gusting to 18. Goldsboro is steady at 15. Fayetteville steady at 11 right now. So it's a little breezy. We had a breezy week last week, so we're kind of seeing that continuing this week as well. 57 the high in Raleigh this afternoon, 56 in Durham, 58 in Fayetteville. And if you noticed all the daffodils popping up around our area, it's so pretty. Such a nice time of year. Right now, though, our wind is coming out of the north and northeast, and you can see the blue color contours. Watch what happens as we get into the day Thursday. Wednesday's going to stay cool like today, but by Thursday, we see a reverse of the wind. So our wind will be coming out of the south, and notice how the colors turn to red. That's an indication of temperatures warming up. So a little bit cooler for today and tomorrow, a little warmer for Thursday and Friday. It's not a dramatic shift, but still it'll be warmer. 57 is our normal high. That's what we'll see today. 59 for Wednesday, and then mid-60s on Thursday and Friday. Thursday looks like a pretty nice day to be outside, but Friday looks wet, at least for the first half of the day. Some of the warmer temperatures have caused our pollen counts to start to climb already, which is not that unusual. We do often start to see the pollen creeping up a little bit toward the end of February. Looking at medium for tomorrow and Thursday in terms of pollen counts. In our climate and crisis series, we're talking about what happens when we see these warmer temperatures. One of the things that happens is we have a longer growing season. That can be positive in that we have longer time to grow crops. The flip side of that is that our pollen season is longer as well. And when I say the growing season, we're talking about the time from the last freeze in the spring to the first freeze in the fall. That's when we have days to grow. Well, we have 28 more days on average in that growing season than we did back in 1970. So that is one of the implications of our warming planet. So good things and bad things. Pollen sufferers would say that's not so great, I'm sure. Our leaf index anomaly, what this shows us is how early or late we are in terms of the trees leafing out. We tend to start to see our trees leafing out in March and into April. And the red shaded area would be about 10 to 15 days earlier than normal. And so with some of the warm temperatures, that may be the case. Here's one of the reasons for that forecast. We're looking at wrapping up the month and starting the month of March with well above normal temperatures for much of the country. Again, temperatures for the next few days. It's mild for us Thursday and Friday. We're looking at a very warm day on Monday with a high of 70. But right now we're looking at a chance of some showers on Friday and into Saturday night. I'll walk you through the timeline coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. The man accused of killing one person and injuring another near Fayetteville is appearing in court for the first time today. The latest details from inside the courtroom at 5:30.
Then at 6, frustration is building in Halifax County, where wait times stretch on for cases to be heard in Superior Court. Hear what changes the district is working on to make sure cases are heard in a timely manner. And still ahead this noon, making more money but saving less. Why some financial analysts say millennials are spending the bulk of their salary now rather than saving for later.
Plus, new research shows that it is possible to have too much of a good thing. How an excess of vitamin B could have a negative impact on your health. Welcome back. This is a live look at the American Tobacco Campus. Pretty blue skies out there. A chance to win endless lobster at Red Lobster. And mortgage rates are climbing once again. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Mortgage rates shot to a two-month high after last week's worse-than-expected reports on inflation. The average rate on a 30-year fixed loan hit 7.14%, according to Mortgage News Daily. Rates had fallen to about 6.6% earlier this year as inflation eased. This recent spike comes after government reports showed price increases in January were a little higher than forecast. But even with the jump, mortgage rates are still almost a full percentage lower than they were in October of last year. Raising your credit score can save you $92 a month. This is according to a study from LendingTree. And a higher credit score could help you save more than $22,000 over the life of your loans. Now, to realize the savings, you'd need to boost your credit score from fair to very good. Among the ways to increase your score, ask lenders to raise your limits. That can actually help bring your credit utilization down and automate your payments so you never miss a due date. And consolidating your debts also helps. Starting today, you'll have a chance to win Red Lobster's latest endless lobster giveaway. 150 people will win a two-hour seating at any Red Lobster. They'll be served lobster endlessly along with two sides and biscuits. To enter, you're going to need to check Red Lobster's Instagram, TikTok, X, or Facebook accounts today to get the details. And there is a maximum on just how many lobsters you'll get during those 2 hours. It's 12 1.25-pound Maine lobsters, by the way. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Young adults are making more money than their parents and grandparents did at their age, but they're saving less. The net worth of Americans ages 18 to 39 soared by 80% over the last 5 years. But those economic gains from work and investments have not been translating into disposable income. Financial analysts say many young adults feel pessimistic about their financial futures, and that's encouraged them to spend money so they can be happy right now.
Apple Music is testing a feature that lets you easily import playlists from Spotify and other services. 9to5 Mac reports Apple is using SongShift, a third-party app that's been available for years. It allows users to move their libraries and playlists between different streaming services. Apple Music's integration with SongShift is only currently showing up for some people using the app on Android devices, and it's not yet fully functional. Walmart has agreed to buy TV maker Vizio for more than $2 billion in cash. Walmart and its Sam's Club warehouse chain have long sold Vizio televisions. Buying the company could allow Walmart to boost its ad business through Vizio's SmartCast operating system, which allows users to stream free ad-supported content on their TV sets. The move comes as Walmart tries to compete with Amazon's growing ad segment.
Next, a push to end the war in Gaza is growing among world leaders, but the U.S. has offered a counter-resolution. After the break, White says it will vote against a resolution to end the war, instead calling for a pause in fighting.
And here are your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
We begin this half hour with breaking news in Southeast Raleigh. Police are investigating a shooting at an apartment complex on North New Hope Road. WRL's Shelley Jackson just arrived on scene. And Shelley, what are you seeing and what can you tell us?
Well, Renee, we're at the Lexington Apartments here on New Hope Road. Let's give you a look at what we're seeing here on the ground. There are about 12 police cars, Raleigh police cars down there. You can see there's some
yellow crime tape blocking off part of that side driveway entranceway. We also have live video from Sky 5 above us. Now, we're told the detectives have arrived on scene as well. Raleigh police got a call around 11:28 this morning about a shooting here. When they arrived, they found a woman with a serious gunshot wound. Now, right now, officers say they have one person in custody. And you know what? We're going to turn the camera over this way across the street because we're not sure if this is related or not. But right before you took us, police pulled over this man. The UPS truck drove right in front of us. He had his head on his hands, and now they're handcuffing him. We do not know if he is involved with this situation. We are told that one person is in custody. We do not know if they were looking for more. And again, we don't know if this is related, but it is right across the street at the Firestone Tire Place. So we are out here at Lexington on New Hope Road. We are going to continue to learn more about what happened here. And we are told by Raleigh police that there is no threat to the community. Renee?
All right, Shelley Jackson, live in Southeast Raleigh. Shelley, thanks.
The United Nations Security Council will vote today on a resolution calling for an immediate end to the war in Gaza. The U.S. vowed to veto that resolution, instead introducing a resolution that stops short of calling for a ceasefire but calls for a six-week pause in fighting. It also opposes any planned ground operation in Rafah. Earlier this week, Israel said it will expand military operations there if hostages are not returned by Ramadan, which begins sundown March 10th.
The Durham City Council voted in favor of a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. It comes after an hours-long meeting where hundreds of people gathered to speak about the issue. WRL's Laura Levine is in Durham to explain what's next.
It was a jam-packed and busy night here at City Hall in Durham, where that meeting lasted for about 6 hours. We know that City Council passed that resolution just before 1 o'clock for a ceasefire in Gaza. I want you to take a look at some of this video where you can see hundreds of people who rallied in support of this. Dozens of them spoke up, sharing passionate remarks on why this was so critical to them. Durham is now the second city in the state to call for a ceasefire. Durham's resolution urges the Biden administration to call for a sustained bilateral ceasefire and calls for an end to U.S. military aid to Israel. It also calls for humanitarian aid to Gaza and the release of all hostages. The motion passed 5-2. City Council members in favor expressed this is just one step.
This is a small piece of a bigger effort, hopefully. But that's the part that I think I hold the most, is that we all have to do better. We all have to realize our own humanity, our shared humanity, and that we do need to move in a collective way if we want any hope of a different future.
The group Jewish Voice for Peace is among several groups that showed up, and they're going to be holding a demonstration in Raleigh as well on Thursday. Laura Levine, WRL News in Durham.
Leaders with the Poor People's Campaign were back at the General Assembly this morning to move their NC voter mobilization campaign plans forward. Earlier this month, the group said the success of this year's election, particularly for president, will boil down to which party gets its voters to the polls. On March 2nd and June 15th, they plan to mobilize and encourage at least 15 million low-income people to get out and vote. Group members address state leaders demanding policies that address issues of poverty and low wealth. The group is led by former state NAACP president, Reverend William Barber.
People in North Carolina who are struggling with their mental health now have another resource at their fingertips. This morning, a ribbon-cutting ceremony was held in Charlotte for a new support line. A statewide phone line will connect people in recovery with those who are still struggling. It'll be staffed by peer support specialists who offer non-clinical support and resources. The Department of Health and Human Services says this new tool offers a space to be heard in a different way.
The peer line is different. This is a person who can say, yes, I've struggled with depression. Yes, I've struggled with homelessness due to my depression. Yes, my family didn't know how to help me. Yes, I used substances for a long time and it destroyed my family, but here's how I got to recovery.
This new warm line, as it's called, will be available 24/7, right along with the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
The Wake County Board of Commissioners approved a $2.4 million loan to build more than 50 affordable homes. Habitat for Humanity will partner with MI Homes to build the houses by 2026. 50 of them will go up on Old Pool Place in Raleigh. The remaining five will be built on Harris Street in Wendell.
Applications are open for organizations to receive funding to support small businesses in Raleigh. Any nonprofit organizations will have to submit any new resources or innovative ideas that could benefit the businesses they serve. It's an effort to establish business in new or underserved areas in the city. To see if your organization is eligible, you can visit the city's Business Alliance program page. The application period closes March 25th.
In about an hour, Brogdon Middle School students and staff will thank a bus driver for her heroic actions after this bus caught fire with students inside. This dramatic video circulated on social media shortly after the fire near American and White Pine Drives in Durham on Friday. The driver was able to get all 23 students off the bus safely. School administrators say a thorough investigation is underway involving both Durham Fire and the company that built the bus. The bus driver, Giona Washington, will be honored in a ceremony in front of the school at 1:30.
It can be tough to fit in exercise every day, but what if you crammed an entire week's worth of exercise all on the weekend? New research looks at whether you'd reap the same benefits.
Plus, American Airlines is now charging the most for checked bags out of all the major U.S. airlines after raising the fee. Starting today, how much more you'll have to pay to check your bag. Remember, you can watch WRL News live anytime on WRL.com or the WRL app on your streaming device. You're looking live at Andrew right now and watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
In recent years, vitamin B3, also known as niacin, has been added to the foods we eat. But doctors say getting too much could put you at risk for cardiovascular disease. Now, the U.S. originally required niacin to be added to foods like cereal, flour, and oats to help prevent vitamin B3 deficiency. Well, now, since many of the foods we eat are highly processed, we're at risk of getting too much of it. Doctors suggest until a blood test for this can be made public, try to stick to a whole foods diet and avoid processed foods. If you're having trouble squeezing in weekday workouts, a new study shows weekend warrior workouts are just as effective. The World Health Organization and U.S. exercise guidelines for adults call for at least 150 minutes, 2.5 hours each week of moderate physical activity, along with some strength and flexibility training. Weekend warriors in the study accomplished 2.5 hours worth of exercise over the 2-day period. Studies found weekend workouts produced even lower abdominal fat.
Flatter abs on Saturday. Virtual reality appears to help senior citizens enjoy life more. Hundreds of people ages 65 to 103 participated in virtual reality experiences ranging from parachuting, watching stage performances, or going to places like Egypt or Paris. 60% said they felt less isolated socially as a result. Those who found the experience less enjoyable were more likely to have sight or hearing issues.
Right. So when we take somebody out of the four walls of their current environment and place them into a different place, the mind treats that experience differently. The mind thinks that we're actually close to being in that reality. So that can bring back a tremendous amount of joy, a tremendous amount of memories.
A spokesperson for the company Mind Immersive says their technology will soon attach to Google Earth so that seniors can virtually visit places where they lived or frequently visited.
To smile or not to smile? If you've never gotten a passport, you might not know the answer. We'll share a few guidelines after the break.
Plus, now's the time to catch the wave. After the break, why travel experts say now is the time for you to book a cruise.
If winter weather has you dreaming of a getaway, don't wait on it. Book immediately. Jen Sullivan explains how you can score some big deals if you book now.
It's time to start cruising for a deal. Major cruise companies are offering big discounts right now. it's known as wave season.
Wave season is the time of year when the entire cruise industry goes on sale.
Wave season starts in January and runs through the beginning of March. You don't need to travel right now to score the deals. Travel expert Emily Kaufman says you can book a cruise all the way through 2025. You just need to book the trip now. So, what kind of deals are we seeing?
They've got added value offers with things like 2-for-1 sailing, cabin category upgrades, credits to be used on board.
From river cruises to luxury ships, anywhere around the world, this is the time to score discounts. Right now, Norwegian Cruise Lines is offering a 2-for-1 deal. That's on many of their cruises, even the European destinations. They're also offering a savings of $1,000 for free third or fourth guests on select dates. Royal Caribbean Cruises boasts up to $700 off, plus 60% off a second guest, and kids sail for free. MSC is offering 40% off and up to $400 onboard credit, but that deal only lasts until February 20th. Kaufman says cruises are a great way for families to save.
For one price, you get your accommodations, your meals, your activities on board.
If you are booking for a future trip, keep in mind that prices will be even cheaper if you book during an off-season time. And of course, you do have to factor in flights if you have to fly to the port city where the cruise departs from.
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. When it comes to taking a photo for your passport, less is more. The State Department calls for neutral looks because photos with exaggerated expressions can make it more difficult to identify the passport holder. So if your smile is stretched and your eyes are nearly closed, your photo might not make the cut. And if the photo doesn't meet the criteria, you could get a letter requesting a new photo, and that can cause a delay.
Hopefully the lighting's halfway decent on those. Checking a bag on American Airlines is now more expensive than other major U.S. airlines. The first checked bag on most flights will now cost $40 for customers who don't prepay online and $35 for customers who do. Previously, the price was $30 either way. American's biggest rivals, Delta and United, both charge $30 for the first bag and $40 for the second on similar routes. Well, maybe all that talk of cruising and flights has you inspired for some travel, but the weather's beautiful right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Why leave, especially later this week? It's going to be nice.
Hey, we've got a 70-degree day in the 7-day forecast that I would love to show you. So this is a time of year that we're about to head into that people either love or hate. I'm a spring lover, but I don't have allergies. And we talked a little while ago about the fact that we're starting to see that tree pollen creeping up just a little bit. It is a pretty afternoon out there. Temperatures are cool, near normal. We're going to be in the upper 50s this afternoon. It's a little breezy. We have some gusts up to about 15, 20 miles per hour. Not a lot, but the camera's shaking just slightly there in Goldsboro, where we have gusts at about 19 right now. Out of the north, so that's keeping things cool. There's also a little bit of cloud cover you can see there in Apex and Chapel Hill too, just some high thin cloud cover. That's courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant and of course our newsroom there in Fayetteville on Hay Street. The next system that I'm tracking is a cold front that comes in on Friday morning. That means Friday morning's commute may be fairly messy. We could begin to see some of that rain late Thursday, and we're just going to watch for the timeline of it moving on out. This is going to be sort of a worst case scenario that I show you, looking at maybe about an inch or about half an inch or less of rain. So it's not going to be a whole lot of rain. But once the front moves through, it'll cool things down a little bit for Saturday, and then we start to see temperatures rebounding a bit. This is a look at a low pressure system that's moving offshore and another one that's moving southward. So we're kind of in between the two of those. But some of the cloud cover from this system down near Atlanta is going to be drifting across our area. We're seeing a little bit of that already. Let's jump ahead to Thursday at 5 o'clock. We're dry at 5 o'clock, but later in the evening, overnight, we'll see some showers moving through. Most likely we'll be dealing with rain for Friday morning for the morning commute. And then the cold front moves offshore. This version of Futurecast has some of that rain lingering behind the front until around the time of the evening commute. We'll start to, by tomorrow, get some of the high resolution models in, which shows us a lot more detail. And so we'll be able to be a bit more specific for tomorrow in terms of when that rain moves out. That can be important if you're planning to travel on Friday evening or if you're heading out for an event. You want it to be dry, potentially. On Saturday, we'll see a quick round of showers with a cold front. It looks like the snow, the mountains may get a little taste of snow there late Saturday. And then on Sunday, we clear out. And then after that, temperatures start to warm up a little bit. This could be a decent weekend for skiing. Temperatures are still cold. I've been watching Macon snow this morning, so it should still be good. The ski resorts are usually open at least into March, so there's a little bit of time left. 50% chance of rain on Friday. It's a 20% chance on Saturday. And let's talk about some of those totals. Looking, as I mentioned, at probably a half an inch or less of rain out of the system. And then Saturday, maybe just a few more hundredths of an inch. So not much with that system on Saturday. So 57 for today, 59 Wednesday. We're in the mid-60s on Thursday and Friday. And of course, Friday will have that potential for rain. It'll be potentially the wettest day of the week. And then Sunday looks nice with some sunshine, 62. And Monday, even better if you like the warm temperatures, back to 70 degrees.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Here's one for you. Keep your loose change in your pocket. That's the message to zoo visitors in Nebraska, where veterinarians found and removed 70 coins.
First, here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
A 9-year-old boy has died and three of his family members are injured after an early morning fire in Cumberland County. The fire ripped through the mobile home on Dasher Lane just after 1. Family tells WRL the 9-year-old, Thomas Miller, died at the scene. Miller's parents and 16-year-old sister were also hurt. Officials say a space heater in the teenager's room is to blame.
We're working to learn more about a shooting on North New Hope Road in Raleigh. WRL broke this story at the top of the hour. Sky 5 was over the scene as police swarmed the Lexington on the Green apartment complex around 11:30 this morning. We're told one woman was seriously injured and at least one person is in custody.
Social media companies are facing lawsuits over their impact on teens. Today, the Wake County School Board will consider whether to join one of those lawsuits. Attorneys for two law firms are presenting their arguments to the school board tonight ahead of a planned vote. Lawsuits filed by school boards nationwide say social media apps are psychologically damaging kids and distracting them during the school day.
Here's a chance to live on Mars without leaving Earth. NASA is looking for volunteers to simulate a year-long mission to Mars in a habitat in Houston. The ground-based mission will include simulations of spacewalks, crop growth, and tech failures. To be considered, you will need a doctorate in a STEM field and 1,000 hours as a pilot. NASA is accepting applications through April 2nd.
Veterinarians at a Nebraska zoo found some unusual objects in an alligator's stomach. 36-year-old Thibodeau had an urgent procedure last week after a routine x-ray found 70 coins in its stomach. Thibodeau is leucistic, which is a rare condition that causes the alligator to have translucent white skin and deep blue eyes. There are the 70 coins. Veterinarians removed the objects before they caused any real problems. We're told Thibodeau has fully recovered.
Money hungry. Our pet of the day is a gentle giant from Red Barn Rescue. Curtis is exceptional in so many ways. He's exceptionally personable, exceptionally handsome, and he's exceptionally large. Curtis is 81 pounds, a St. Bernard mix, just a year old. He still has occasional puppyish antics, but is very polite and easy to handle. To get to know Curtis, you can fill out an application so you can come meet this special fellow.
The fight continues for a Harnett County police dog being housed in an animal shelter. On WRL News at 4, where supporters want to see K-9 Pac-Man go and what they're doing at tonight's city council meeting to make sure their message is heard. NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WRL.